This episode was brought to you by Autograph Events, our sponsor. Come take my hand, I will walk with you. I won't let go till you say so. There isn't anything I wouldn't do. Wanna make sure that you understand. Thank you for tuning in to the Crowdy Files.
I'm Craig Bryson.
And I'm Jody Mears.
And together, we are the Crowdy Files.
In this episode, we're going to discuss common hurdles that we're faced as assistants and give some strategies to overcome them. We'll be covering five common faced hurdles that we've heard of through our High Crowdy initiative. One of them is going to be miscommunication, another lack of organisation, ignoring technology, poor time management and ignoring feedback. We'll discuss the do's and the don'ts of each area and provide tips on how to navigate them effectively. Miscommunication, Craig.
It does happen all the time. That's what we were talking about in the earlier episode about communicate and communicate clear, concise. But sometimes it gets lost in translation.
And what about from the executive's point of view as well, when they're giving their miscommunications or lack of communication, I should say, from the start of building that professional relationship, I think assumptions can be made if you don't communicate effectively at the beginning of a professional relationship. It's important to, you know, get all those questions out. And that's why we don't believe in hitting the ground running.
No.
Because you really need to have time to raise these questions so that you are set up for success going forward. And we don't become 10 steps back to discuss, oh, I don't like to be contacted at 6 o'clock every night, or I don't like the way you do that. And you think, well, we just, you know, why are we 10 years down the line and now I'm only just finding this out?
I agree. And I did that the first day I started working with my exec. I just want to suggest that at the end of every week, I will do a bullet point email to communicate what I've done in that week, what meetings have gone in, on what days, so you won't have to chase me. Oh, is this in? Has this been done? As you know, when's this? He likes that. When execs say, go speak to Craig, I want you to work the same as he does. They can't, because it's my way of communicating.
You can't replicate someone's persona and way of working. They could try, but they'll end up having their own way of doing your way.
Yeah, exactly.
But with the miscommunication, another thought that's just come to me now is, even if you've been working with an executive for a long time and you've had those initial conversations, it doesn't mean that that's set in stone and your assumptions should be that's the way, you know, they'd like to be communicated with. I think revisiting that initial conversation certain stages of your time in the role is quite key as well, just to see if anything's changed.
Yeah.
You know, you have the right to change your mind, to say, actually, or, you know, circumstances as well change everything.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a new baby in the house, you know, calling me between the witching hour, as us parents call it, between 4 and 7, you forget it. I'd rather work between X and X instead. So being up to speed with situational-based changes really help, and come back to having that skill and confidence to say, do you want a quick chat just to see if anything's changed? Are you happy?
Yeah.
Some people might leave that until review or appraisal time.
Yeah, which is too late, because you want to do it now. I would like to know now.
I
find that when I first started, it's now changed to WhatsApp communicate, you know, so my exec tends to communicate with me more via WhatsApp and not email. So that never was the norm, and now it's changed. I always like to put my mobile on silent. I don't want to be checking. But now I tend to use my mobile, because he'll be WhatsApping while he's in a meeting next door, asking, can you just get that printout for me and just bring it over? So if I didn't look at my mobile, I wouldn't have known that he texted me or communicated via the WhatsApp app.
It's a sign of how quickly the tech is influencing our profession.
Definitely.
And it's happening in such a short space of time. And I don't mean like 6 months. I mean, no. 10 years is still a short space of time. So yeah. This whole role is, it's evolving at a very fast pace. Even though the word evolving sounds like a slow, you know, evolution of something happening,
yeah.
The rate of evolution is really quick. So having those conversations to avoid miscommunicating is key. I do the same. I remember being in a role where the executive asked me to communicate via WhatsApp. And I thought, oh my God, no, that's my personal WhatsApp. You know, no, I don't want to do that. You know, why should I? That's my personal platform. Yeah. It's got my picture. I might put pictures of my kids up on my profile picture, yeah. And you just feel automatically you're invading my privacy. I did have an incident as well.
Oh.
In that particular circumstance where it was the early stages of WhatsApp, where this executive asked me to use my WhatsApp to communicate with a client. Instantly, I just thought, I don't want to do that. And I was asking, surely there's a business account for WhatsApp. Can't we get that? No, we can't get. This is the way we've always done it. You know, can you just do it? Okay, fine. And then lo and behold, my fear came true. When after I'd communicated with that client, they then took it as an opportunity to communicate with me inappropriately. After hours, because you do have access to that person 24/7 on platforms such as WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So knowing how to use things appropriately and again communicating. I knew I didn't want to communicate in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you feel like you've got to maybe not put up so much of a personal picture or no picture. But then fast forward a short space of time, I now don't mind using WhatsApp to communicate with my executive.
I have to be careful because sometimes when you're out and you're having a couple of drinks and you're having a good time networking and you want to text your friend, but your boss has the same name as your friend taking photos of my cocktail and you send it to the wrong person. You have to be very careful of that. It hasn't happened to me yet, but I've always had that fear. Who am I talking to? Or can it just wait till tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's that readily available communication that will set the situations apart. It could go left very quickly. But yeah, I don't get into a situation where miscommunication is causing a problem.
Yeah.
I think have the confidence and those times set aside. You might do it when you're one-to-ones, weekly check-ins, whatever you do, just to check, has anything changed with the communication style, the time, your availability?
What about the lack of organization? I
from who? We're talking about executive assistants, virtual assistants, personal assistants. Are we unorganized?
No, I think sometimes the partners are unorganized and you're trying to mold them to have some organization.
It's difficult when they're stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
And it's what they've been used to doing. And you're trying to bring new ways, effective ways, structured ways of working into the daily life. But hopefully they're open, you know, maybe they've just hired you and they're open to new ways of working or suggestions.
Yeah. I tend to use the exec's calendar a lot by placing deadlines. This needs to be done by this date and highlighted at the top. And then I do it like six times. It's tomorrow is the deadline. Because they keep saying, oh, I don't know what the deadline is. Like you do look at your calendar. It's in there. I try and make sure that they're on top of it and making them look amazing. A good strategic EA will be able to make a CEO or an exec look amazing. I do find that execs tend to slot stuff in their diaries. I put 15 minutes in between, but if they put something in and they're late for the next meeting, it tends to have a domino knock-on effect that tends to make them miss meetings, arrive late. It's important to be organized, making sure that you have breaks in between the meetings, but sometimes it's not always the case.
No, mine's a mixture. So sometimes it's back-to-back.
Yeah.
can set the 5-minute buffer time in between meetings. Sometimes it is, but I always try to set out the week as I'm in to go on and have some nice blocks and chunks of time for my executive to recoup, recover, just catch up, because the calendar isn't a reflection of their day as such, because they might need to be going into the emails or preparing reports. But sometimes it can be built into the day to put a chunk of time to build in the reports and to work on feedback and whatever. But the organization, if you treat the calendar as you would your own calendar and treat that person on the other end the same way, that can only be a plus. So build in the breaks, build in the lunches, and then it's up to them if they choose to say, Jodie, it's fine, I don't want a lunch, just put that person in my lunch break. You've done what you can do in terms of being organized. If they want to override that, that's fine, that's on them.
Yeah.
So scheduling tools, streamlining processes and preventing errors, that can work. And ignoring or adopting technology, I mean, we're exposed and we've got so many options at the moment. How does it fit in for you in your professional relationship with your executive when you are using scheduling tools? Have you really adopted the new technology? I know you're going to say, of course I have.
Yes.
How much technology has helped with your organization?
Well, technology and software. My boss has really taken on some software. For example, Trello is something that he started using. And I'm like, wow, that is a...
Well done.
I know. And I just thought, yes. And just having that 15 minutes of training, showing him how to do it. This is what we could do. This is how we can do it. When I pop something in here. And he's embraced that. And he's really just gone with it. Yes. And he's saying, I can do more now than I used to. But I've been saying that for like months and months.
Oh, it's roll when you think.
But now he's taking that step. He's not going to be looking back, which is great.
So that's key in terms of not everyone moves at the same pace. Sometimes it takes people a lot longer than others to see the benefit in tools and technology aiding their role.
I agree.
It depends what mindset they're in.
It's true.
You know, do they want to just continue working the way they're working in a much slower pace? And then you'll get people who want to push forward and will embrace new things and are able to push teams, objectives and company goals a lot quicker because they are adopting new processes.
Yeah.
So how do you align yourself with that and the use of it in the office? Do you give us an example of how that's kind of helped you process?
Oh, yes. OneNote. I use. I have a lot of projects and working on different projects, different clients, all their information in one place, and you can share that with them. So emails have got less between us because he can actually see live what I've added in that page on that client and what meetings has gone into that. He's been sharing that with other partners, and the other partners have come over to me and say, could you please show me? And do you have a tutorial on how I can do that? It's like wildfire. I've had three other execs saying, oh, can you show my EA how to do that? I'm sure she knows how to use that. The reason why the EAs don't use it with their partners, because the partners need to get updated with their software skills. And they try to make it as easy as for that partner to understand or get through the day on how to work together. I think that is the issue with the partner not being able to learn software quicker as EAs need to.
You almost need like a combined lunch and learn session for
Definitely.
Executives and their assistants to just bring them up to speed.
Yeah.
We get a lot of courses, webinars, lunch and learn sessions for the assistant. But
Nothing.
My question would be, does that get relayed back to the organization or the executive to say, this is what I learned today and this is what I need to implement?
Yes.
Because I know for a fact now, from working with other assistants, that they keep that to themselves. They don't necessarily implement what they learn, which is then causing a little bit of a sticking point in the cog of progress.
I agree. I totally agree.
Does that happen?
It happens a lot. Yeah, yeah. I have set up sort of lunch and learns for half an hour with other EAs to show them that there are other softwares to use. It boils down to the EA, if they choose to use it or not use it.
Yeah. Going back to our show title then, Mastering the Common Administrative Assistant Hurdles. another one that we've been noticing that's coming into the inbox in a high Crowdy question in the profession generally is ignoring feedback. Let's discuss ignoring feedback and how that can help or hinder your professional development, and what are some strategies and solutions for feedback in general?
I think feedback is great, but how you deliver it is important.
Definitely.
Yeah. And some people think it's somebody's criticizing them. Any feedback is a good start.
You do open yourself up, don't
you? Yeah.
To when you push that button of request 360 feedback, you think, oh God, please be nice. Can I brief you on how I want you to respond? That's always tempting to me. What I've just sent you, what I need you to do is, it's always a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
But when you view risk in a different way, is it more risky not asking for the feedback?
Yeah, it's true. I always want feedback. Even if it's positive or negative, how am I supposed to develop myself if I don't know what is wrong or what is right or what I'm doing well? And I think it's really important. I did this mistake. I lack on attention to details. Then you know what the feedback's going to be like. Why don't you start working on that? And you won't get sized about this information because you know it. You know what you're going to have the feedback, what it is going to be.
So you're evaluating yourself before you're asking others to evaluate you.
Yes.
So having that critical thinking skill, which a lot of assistants do possess, I think it's the natural thing that we do possess. But how many of us do actually tap into that skill of critical thinking? And being able to analyze what I did well, what I didn't do so well, and then let me go and ask for feedback on the things that I didn't do so well, just to check that that is their thinking also, that you haven't gone off on a tangent in your head. And of course, asking for the feedback of what did I do well.
We never get that. It's funny how we always get the, you did this wrong, and everybody remembers all what you've done wrong. But anything that you've done well, oh, it was great. And you never get the in-depth of how great it was. As humans, we are the worst critics for ourselves. We hammer ourselves, and we need to be more kinder to ourselves.
The approach, going back to the approach then, we've been talking a lot about timing, tone, and turf. I've contributed on LinkedIn around this topic as well. I think it's quite important. And as our whole ethos suggests, sharing the knowledge, it's something that's been really easy for me to remember. I don't know about you, but there's so many acronyms and matrix to think about that have certain, you know, acronyms that when you see it in a training course or a webinar, you think, oh my God, that's so good. Let me try and remember that. And then in the moment when you need it, you think, what was the blooming word that is broken down into six letters?
I
find it really hard to access.
Yeah.
But the one thing I haven't had a problem with is the TTT.
What is a TTT?
The timing, the tone, and the turf. I've drummed that into myself. That's been really useful in pretty much any situation, coming up with strategies to deal with things at work, but also at home, just remembering there's a time and a place and a way to say everything, anything.
Yeah.
You've just got to step back, take a breath, and think about what you're going to say next. Think about how that's going to be delivered by you, but also how is it going to land?
Yeah. And who's in the room? So you have to read the room.
Definitely. Is this the right time for this conversation?
Yeah.
Yes, you want to say it now. And in your mind, I need to get this off my chest. This is bothering me, or I need to tell you about something right now. But is this the right time for that piece of information to land as you wanted it to land?
Yeah.
Have you got any strategies around that in general? Just think of an example that might have prevented you from getting your message across where you haven't necessarily thought about, is it the right place, the right time, the timing, tone, and turf?
It's well, if it's a work thing, I would ask somebody to go, let's go for lunch, let's go for a coffee. If it's with friends, do you want to have a catch up? It has to be the time. And if you were busy in the board meeting and you have a bone to pick with your exec, you don't do it in front of the whole board members and saying, oh, this is what you did and this is not how I work. That is the wrong place.
Wrong time.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of this recently, which hopefully would help in terms of a strategy is when I've got things on my mind, I do just want to get it off my mind, because that to-do list and that reminder list just gets longer and longer and longer. Mm. And there's never the right time to communicate. No. I will use elements of the technology and tools we have available to maybe say what I need to say, structure it correctly, think about how it's going to land with the recipient, but just delay the timing. So with one thing that immediately comes to mind right now is in Microsoft Teams, in the messaging, you can right click on the sent arrow and just delay the time. What? I've got loads of things. I've got so many questions and loads of things to say to my executive, but I'm already forward thinking and seeing that he's in a client meeting or he's in a board meeting. This is not the right time for me to flag X, Y, and Z to him. It's not the right time, Jody.
Yeah.
But I still want to get it off my chest. So I use those elements, those tools that are available to just delay the message and then send it at 5:30 or send it during the break in the workshop and allow it to go through at the right time. I know it's going to be received at the right time to give me the response I want, rather than a straight ignore.
Yeah.
Because it's the wrong time.
Yeah.
Or a quick, okay, thanks, because it's the wrong time. To draw out the response you're looking for, I've really been thinking about the timing of everything recently. The Crowdy Files is brought to you by Autograph Events, our show sponsors. Autograph Events are the experts in providing a complete event management solution. From free global venue finding through to full on-site event management, executive away days, team building, and off-site meetings, they can help us plan it all. They offer that extra pair of hands, a bit like the assistant's assistant. The best part is they understand how we like to work. They understand our role. So for more information, email events@autograph-events.co.uk, quoting Crowdy Files 2023 to find out how they can help you plan your next event and for your personal reward. Terms and conditions apply. Please see our website, craigandjody.com. Next, we have a listener question. Thank you so much for sending this one in. This really resonates with both of us as well.
Hi, Crowdy. I am an EA of 10 years and I love my role. I have attended time management courses in the past but cannot seem to implement the tips when I get back to my desk. I have to juggle all of the time, which I've learned to do really well. Do you have any tips for me to retain knowledge?
To answer our listener question, we have a fabulous contributor that we would love to introduce to you, Abigail Barnes. Abigail is the founder and CEO of Success by Design Training, an award-winning entrepreneur, author, speaker, and corporate trainer on time management and productivity well-being. She is a qualified coach and creator of the renowned 888 formula and host of the Time Management Podcast.
Hello, Crowdy Files Podcast. Abigail Barnes here from Success by Design Training. So excited to be answering this question today. Before I dive into the answer, I want to give some context. Now, what I heard was, how do I retain this information before I get back to my desk? So, before you get back to your desk, this is what I would recommend that you do. Question number one, you ask yourself, why did I attend that training? Why did I attend that training? Then step one, write down a list of five things that you took away from that training. Now, step number two, you are looking for overlaps. You attended that training, I'm assuming, if it was time management, because you have time management problems or challenges. What are they? Write them down. And then compare your time management problems or challenges with the top takeaways that you got from that training and look for the overlaps. Step number three, once you have got one overlap, so the thing that is going to solve your problem the most, the thing that is going to address your biggest time management challenge that you have right now, what could you achieve today? Apply that knowledge and do all of this before you get back to your desk. because career development, which is really how we are progressing through life, is about applying what we know to what we do. It's this information, turning this information into application. And once we do this, then we own the knowledge that we have learned. Obviously, when we get back to our desk, all of the things, all of the problems, all of the challenges that we were looking for this training to provide us with a solution to are still going to be there. So we need to create that new plan, that new process before we get back to our desk so that our work can then start feeling less like juggling and more like sequencing. This is what I teach when it comes to time management, how you can sequence and schedule your tasks rather than feeling like you're constantly fighting fires, juggling. Can't wait to hear what you take away from this answer, and I look forward to catching up with you all somewhere online or in person soon. Take care.
Well, thank you so much, Abigail. That was really helpful. I've taken away lots there as well. If you want to learn more about what Abigail does, you can find more information in the show notes, on our social media posts, and also some details of Abigail on our website.
100% agree. I get frustrated when your exec didn't reply to your email. You know he's read it and it's been in his inbox for 3 hours. Then if you look at his calendar, you can see that he's been in a client board meeting or a pitch meeting for like 2-3 hours. And he's just quickly looked to see if there was something urgent. I totally agree that it has to be timed perfectly, using all the software that you can. And you know which one he's going to, if he's not going to respond on the email, go to WhatsApp, but also check where he is at on the calendar.
Definitely. So that the tone part of the TTT model comes down to communication, which is something we're all naturally good at. And it is the key to success in our ongoing role. Ensuring that communication is clear, is effective, and you get the response you need. TERF, as we said, that's more of the environment. Yeah. Pick your moment. Is it in person? Can this information be delivered virtually over a call? Or do you want to book a time slot to try and go into the office and have that face-to-face?
I would suggest not doing it in an open plan office with all your colleagues and peers. And if your boss is upset with something, shouting it across you, where everybody can hear, oh, you've done this wrong. Oh, I think that for me, what is happening here? Shouldn't you be taking her into a meeting room and then telling her, but throwing it out in front of everybody? That's not appropriate at all.
No. And again, it comes down to who's going to tell that person that that's
wrong.
Yeah, it's not the dumb thing to do, you know, unless they're told in that situation, try and find somewhere private. Hopefully, especially with leaders, you would hope that they would cotton on to that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you've got a bit of an experience in your mind there.
I did back in the past, but not now. But I'm just. But it's not happened to me. I can see it happening to other EAs. I'm at an age now that I wouldn't take that. If you are in a situation like that, I would speak to HR and ask, how do I deal with this? I've just been shouted at the working environment about something that not everybody should have heard. And she or he will be able to advise you and a way to deal with that.
Definitely. So have you got any examples or strategies to turn that constructive criticism into something really positive? Has there been a situation where you've been able to turn things around?
In what context?
Any context in the office when we've received a piece of information and it's
a little bit sharp.
Have you turned that around?
I would take notes on that. I would really break it down and go, what have I done wrong? I know he's told me this has happened. I get all heated up and I get anxious and I'm sort of worried, but I just have to step out and go for a walk, calm down and then accept it. And then, okay, I can see where I've gone wrong. I think I would rather have that than nothing. And it keeps going on. I would definitely sit down and highlight it and put a post-it right on there. don't do this, don't do that. And I start bettering myself by taking it on board. And I go, okay, fine. I don't see that because other people see what you don't see.
They do.
Yeah,
in the moment, it is a little bit shocking. I think, oh, God, sorry. You know, I didn't realize. But then I will flip that and use it to my advantage.
Oh.
To display and produce what they want to see from me in the future and then bring that up at appraisal time.
Oh, okay.
This is how I flipped it.
Okay.
And use that to my advantage.
So taking that critic and say, this is what I had from last year.
Yep.
And this is how I've improved it.
And an example of how that feedback has turned to my advantage. And now I'm bringing that up in that end of year review.
That is a great
point. Well as, you know, you log in all the wonderful things that you've done all year.
Oh, yeah.
But I think for me, when I include those moments of feedback into my review, it's landed really well in terms of personal progression.
Great.
Because I've been able to learn from not so much mistakes.
No.
Mistakes are dealt with and rectified usually there and then. But when I've learned from a situation that has not been quite the standard or quite the way the organisation prefers,
yeah,
and then I've flipped it, done something with it and even made it better, and then choose the moment again, the turf, choose your moment to flip it right back to them.
Just hearing you say that, it reminds me of all the negative or the feedback that's not been so positive that I've received have become my strengths.
Definitely.
Because I now know I have the knowledge of what I've done wrong. I've now moved on from there because knowledge is power and building on that. But if you don't know, how are you going to build on that and help you to move forward?
Or you're ignoring it.
Some people tend to put their head in the sand and just like, oh.
They might be affected, but they're so fixated with the way they work.
Yeah.
That ignoring it is also just as detrimental.
Definitely.
Same thing, but responding or not responding or making it better or turning things around. Yeah, so for me, that strategy or that solution for the feedback is highlight it as a success story.
Yeah.
At the appropriate time when it's going to be advantageous to you. Please like and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. And why not share your thoughts with us on our LinkedIn page, The Crody Files, or visit craigandjody.com.
I'm Craig Bryson.
And I'm Jody Mears.
And together we are The Crody Files.
This episode was brought to you by Autograph Events, our sponsor. Without you, there is no tomorrow.